If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and we have a really fun episode of the show today. If you've been listening for a while, you might remember that we recorded a mock draft for an all-star Real Housewives cross-franchise cast with Sarah Galley at the end of December, which ended up being really fun, and I said that I wanted to do more things like that, and today is one of those days. If you haven't listened to that one, also go back and do so. It's really fun. Anyway, last week, to no one's surprise, Peacock announced that the U.S. edition of The Traitors had been picked up for a third season. And as you also know, it's pretty much all I can think about these days. And in response to the news, a lot of people were throwing around a lot of names that they'd like to see on the show next season. So I figured it would be a good time to do another mock draft, this time for our dream cast for season 3 of The Traitors. I wanted to find someone to do this with me who not just had a great understanding of the Bravoverse and Housewives, but also of the pools of people from Survivor and Big Brother and other reality shows like The Challenge and Selling Sunset and The Bachelor and beyond. I mean, like these pools are huge and they are endless. And I found the perfect person to do so in Jarrett Weisselman, someone whose content you have absolutely seen on social media if you follow pop culture and reality TV commentators online. He has familiarity with a wide range of pop culture realms, which resulted in a really, really great draft. And before we went into recording, I had written down a bunch of names just in case he chose some of my top choices before I got to them. And I was also feeling just like generally very indecisive. So I actually was kind of surprised at some of the people that I ended up choosing myself. But ultimately, like, there are only so many spots and there is truly an endless list of iconic reality stars and celebrities that could qualify for this show. And I think we both ended up coming up with great potential casts for next season of The US Traitors. And I would not be surprised if some of these names actually ended up on the show. Word on the street is that this season will film in May. So there's a chance that a few names leak out in the next couple months. They actually kept this cast under wraps for a while, though, so I actually kind of hope and wouldn't be surprised if we didn't find out who's taking part until much closer to the season's release. I kind of would like that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this new episode of The Traitors that we got on Peacock last night. I'm sitting here recording this, anticipating it, so I have actually not watched it yet, but by the time this comes out, I will have watched it. We have several more episodes of this season to enjoy before we get the reunion, which Andy Cohen is hosting. That is reportedly filming in the beginning of March, and it will air later in March. And Larsa and Marcus already appear to be back together, so who knows what actual tea that will result in. But here is my mock draft for The Traitors Season 3 with Jarrett Weisselman. Make sure you're subscribed to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now, and I would love if you could drop us a 5-star rating or a nice review to go into the weekend. Thanks for listening, and enjoy. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Jarrett Weisselman, whose stuff you have absolutely seen on Twitter or Threads or Instagram, somewhere on social media. He's a total pop culture and reality TV connoisseur, and he's here to take part in the second Gabbing with Gib mock reality TV draft. This time, we're going to cook up our Dream Traders Season 3 cast. Second season is still happening, but the third season just got confirmed. So, Jarrett, thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
I'm so excited. I'm so good. I feel like these are the moments I was made for, and this is all I've been wanting to do since since you texted me.
Alexa, play Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For, right here.
Yes, that's extremely me.
Okay, so this fever dream of a second season, it was a departure from the first because they went exclusively with reality TV and some random celebrity people, but they basically completely shut out the normies. It was kind of, there was like a third of the cast last season. What did you make of that decision when it was initially made, and like how it's shaken out in the second season?
Well, I was thrilled, honestly, because I don't like when you have a mix of normies and reality television or celebrities. I think it puts the normies at a disadvantage. And I think if you look at season one, listen, Suri played a flawless game regardless. But I think an advantage was these people were enamored by her from seeing her on Survivor for so many years. And she was able to use that against them. You know, I think what's been really cool about season two is it's almost like other people's reality television experience is being used against them. So it's no longer a positive like it was for Suri. It's a negative like it is for Parvati and Dan.
Right. Totally. And I think I've said this before on this podcast, but like, I also think that it at the end, when Suri had that triumphant moment, it had this like essence of like sadness because the other people were so butthurt about it. And it was like, I don't want that to be an element of this at all.
Yeah, I agree as well. And I feel like it's like you kind of got to know what you're there for, you know, and because here's the other thing, too. The normies, is it fine to say that? Is that pejorative? I don't know.
That's what I've been saying. Everyone says it differently.
I know. But the normies going on these shows need the money in a much different way than the reality show people do as well. You know, I don't know. I mean, actually, I'm sure you have watched The Survivor Australia, but the first season, these people are like, I need money to not lose my home. Right. And then you've got Larsa Pippen talking to them and trying to steal this money from them. And you're like, you look like such an asshole. So I think it evens the playing field from a strategic level. And you don't feel as bad watching people be duplicitous when you know that they don't really need the money in the same way.
Right, right. And it's like they're probably all getting either the same or very similar appearance fees now. So it's sort of like they're all sort of just in it to make good TV. And that to me is sort of one of the objectives of this, in addition to, I guess, getting some extra money. But
yeah, completely.
And part of me, like, it's like we set such a high bar on this second season in terms of the casting in and of itself. But I'm like, so like when I was sitting down to like think about this and the wheels started to turn about, okay, season three, my first instinct was like, wait, like how are they going to outdo themselves? But then it was like, if you think for 5 seconds, you realize there are more than enough iconic reality TV people who have not been cast on this show or kind of any similar mashup shows. Were you thinking similarly? Were you like, okay, actually there are like a million choices for this?
100%. And obviously going through this was really fun because I had initially like had a quick like, here's all my reaction. And then I took a step back and I was like, wait, I hadn't even thought about America's Next Top Model when I was pulling from this. You know, I hadn't even thought about some television shows that are no longer on. And I also didn't think about people from just life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think as we're seeing with Mr. Britt this season, these people can come from anywhere.
Right. Totally.
That said, I would like to demand that U.S. Traders never has American politicians on it, because I really am not interested in that. I cannot have Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars happening on my Traders. I can't have Rob Blagojevich or whoever that other guy was on Celebrity Big Brother. Like that to me will never work. It will never
work. No, it will never work. To us, John is just this like random British man who
100%.
He could have been like a reality TV host for all I know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So he's just this kind of enigma, which I think works. But again, I agree. The Dancing with the Stars treatment of politicians, I'm good. Let's protect this traitor's bubble. So, okay, before we jump into it, I'm going to read some of the stipulations that I sent you so that people listening are aware. We'll go back and forth picking people to create our Dream Traders season 3 cast. And since there are like 20-ish contestants for each season, I didn't want it just to be like a back and forth for 20 rounds. So I kind of broke it up into 4 big categories. And then so we'll go back and forth within those categories. and then debrief before we move on. So we will do 5 to 6 Bravo picks each, 4 to 5 from like the Survivor Big Brother shows, 5 to 6 from other reality shows. So thinking like The Challenge, Bachelor Nation, Love Island, Netflix, any other sort of shows that came to mind. And then 3 to 4 random celebrities / public figures. As we mentioned, we've had John, the British politician. We had Deontay this season, Marcus Jordan, Ryan Lochte was on last season. So there are some kind of, those are kind of like mystery boxes, I think, for us to fill. It kind of could be anything. And then those numbers are just sort of based on this season that we're watching now in terms of what the ratio was. So in each round, again, we'll take turns. And the only big rule is that we can't choose any of the same people. So once I choose somebody, you can't choose that person and vice versa. And Okay. Those are the rules of the mock draft. So we're taking this very seriously over here.
Very seriously.
But since you're my guest, Jarrett, we're going to start with Bravo. And I'm going to have you kick us off in that section.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with Bravo, and I'm going to do one that I feel like is just the most obvious, so you can't say it first, and that would be newbie queen Monica Garcia from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I feel like if you have a show that is about people pretending to be someone they are not, the only person you must cast is the most famous non-Anna Delvey like masquerader that we've had in pop culture in the last decade. She would be perfect on the show. I think she would also get sent home first because I think people would know that she is most likely lying and there's no way you can trust her, but she would be so good in that one episode.
Yeah, exactly. You know that she would make an impact right off the bat. I totally agree. Yeah. That seems to be the one name that's being thrown. It was thrown around like immediately even after the finale when you kind of figured that she wouldn't be back on Salt Lake. So I think that's a great first pick. First pick is going to be somebody from Vanderpump Rules.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Lala Kent.
Oh,
I think that I've had this feeling about her on Vanderpump Rules in recent season that she's kind of like a big fish in a small pond. Sometimes it feels like she's thinking kind of several steps ahead than her co-stars. Yeah. And yeah. I want to see her in an environment where she has to kind of play catch up, or she has to prove her worth in terms of how she's thinking strategically. And I think that she would also she wouldn't be afraid of anybody. You know what I mean? She might not stack up strategically in the end, but I think that she would make for some good round table. It's almost like reunion training for her in terms of future housewives.
And let us not forget, I mean, the detective of Vanderpump Rules, she knew who everyone was cheating on. She knew who they were cheating with. She was flying them in from Miami. So that is an excellent choice.
Great. All right. Thank you. Next for you.
Okay, well, since you opened the door to Vanderpump, I'm going to go with my Vanderpump choice. And it may be controversial, but it is Stassi Schroeder. I think it is time to bring her back. I don't want her on Vanderpump. So this feels like a perfect way to have her back in our reality television universe. First of all, no one has ever wanted to be around murder more than Stassi Schroeder. I mean, she spent the entire, her engagement was in a cemetery, right?
So her birthday parties had murder themes. Exactly.
Yeah. So first of all, I think she would just be so excited. And I think she would really be able to use her experience in sniffing out cheating exes to apply that to her traitorous sort of uncovering. Or I'm going to be honest, I would actually like Stassi to be a traitor if she's going to be on the show, because I think she'd have so much fun with it.
I think she would be great. I think you're right. It's like she did something problematic and questionable. It's been some time. She's taken ownership of it. Give her the little bit of the Phaedra treatment where you kind of test the waters and bring her back on another show. Yes. And I think it actually would end up working well for her. All right. My next pick is going to be Lindsay Hubbard from Summer House. Ooh. I actually do think that one thing that like this season of the Traitors could have had even more of is even more big personalities. I want it to be like just stacked to the fucking roof in terms of like people who like have outsized personalities aren't afraid of making a moment and calling people out. And Lindsay's one of those people. And again, it's kind of like a housewives in training like test for somebody like Lindsay and like Lala. So I'm putting them both in and seeing who kind of lasts longer.
I love it. I have to take my jacket off. I'm getting hot. This is so exciting. Okay. Okay. All right. I gotta have my hands free.
Let's fucking go.
All right. So my next Bravo pick, I'm torn between two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this because I think it's unexpected. Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Okay. Explain.
Well, first of all, She's from New Jersey, as am I. We're used to people being murdered, so that happens a lot. So she's going to be very comfortable in this space. No, here's the thing that I love about Dolores, and I've always loved about Dolores. She's kind of a quiet housewife. She would be a quiet player on the show, but you have never seen her back down from a fight. You have never seen her not say what she's thinking, even if it is against her friend Teresa. I think about her going against Danielle when she came back to, you know, a couple seasons ago. That was good. That was really vicious. And she has a mouth on her. I think the thing about Dolores that would be great is she won't hesitate to come for anyone if it's what she believes is in the best interest of being a faithful. Kind of similar to what happened with Larsa this season. I'm not a huge Larsa fan in Miami. Loved her on Traitors. So it's almost made me like her more on Miami. Larsa's big mistake was she came for my husband in CT, which obviously you do not do. But I think, but her energy was right. The way she was kind of trying to pull people in the line was really smart. And I actually think Dolores would be much, much better at doing what Larsa started.
I agree with that. And I also think that Dolores would know when to hold back in a way that Larsa 100%. Couldn't really bring herself to do. So I think that's a great pick. I really do. All right. My third Bravo pick is, I'm going to put our first man in the mix.
Oh, okay.
Craig Conover. I think that I would be curious to see if Craig would end up sort of being a Peter type who like proved to be pretty adept at picking out people and being strategic, because you know, we've seen that he sort of has a conspiracy theory brain with the tinfoil hats and stuff this season. But it also could go more of the Kevin route where it's just sort of like aimless and not really having direction. So I'd be really curious to see what he could bring to it. He'd be good at the challenges. I don't know. I just find him to be really compelling TV. So he's my pick.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. So this is my fourth.
This is your fourth Bravo. Yes. Yeah, so we'll go up to, you could go up to six, but at least five.
Okay. So for my fourth Bravo pick, I am going to go very old school. And it's a show that is no longer on Bravo, but they are best known for being on Bravo.
Okay.
And that would be Tabitha from Tabitha's Salon Takeover.
Wow. A true throwback. A true different era. Yeah.
Imagine her walking into every room and just eating everyone inside that room alive. Her at a round table would be appointment television.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about somebody who is not scared of anybody. Talk about somebody who has no fear. I mean, to me, she could take over Traitors.
Again, it's just we have no touch point for her in the past 10 years. Or you know what I mean?
I
love that about your pick. I love that. It's like, what is this going to result in? All right. So since we're talking bringing people back, I'm going to go with Miss Monique Samuels from Potomac. To me, she is made for TV. I loved her on Potomac. I was Team Monique back in season 4 or 5, whatever that was. And I think she's either divorced or getting divorced right now. Yeah. And I don't know. I think that she's kind of she's probably in an era right now where she's kind of doesn't give a fuck anymore. And not that she gave a fuck before, but she probably extra doesn't give a fuck right now. And I just think that she could call people out. She could be good at challenges. I think she's really, really smart. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, we haven't seen her on TV for, at this point, like 4 or maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
So Monique's my fourth pick.
Okay. Well, my fifth one was going to be Candace, but now it can't be. So I feel no.
But it could be, you know.
No, I wouldn't want to do that to Candace. I do love Candace. I'm a candy gal. So I certainly would not put her in a.
Well, these are different casts. These are our different casts. So.
Right. No, it's okay. Okay.
Okay.
So for my next Bravo pick, I am going to pick Quad for Married to Medicine.
Oh, such a good one.
First of all, Quad is better than Married to Medicine at this point. And also this season without Quad has not been it.
I know.
That said, I love her. I think she's really funny. I think she's super smart. And I think she's also the kind of player who other players would be very drawn to. So I could see her becoming like a Peter type where she's really pulling a lot of people together as a faithful and working hard to root out the traitors.
Yeah, no, I think she's very charismatic. She's irresistible. Would love that. And she could end up being somebody who's like, I mean, this is my last Bravo pick is going to be Lisa Barlow, because I need somebody who I need somebody who like, if she was good at it, it would surprise me. That's not a hit on her, like, as a person or like her intelligence or anything. I just don't think that, like, her brain works in that right. way necessarily. But, like, yeah. I just know that she'd be good TV. I need somebody like, I guess Larsa ended up being good at the game, but, like, she also was kind of just, like, saying shit and giving good confessional and what have you. Like, maybe we'll see that from Shrey down the line. We're seeing it from Phaedra. I just need somebody who's just gonna, like, we can depend on to be kind of, like, a little bit unself-aware, right? Funny.
Yeah.
That's my and seeing her try to, like, lean into the Scotland fashion that they're clearly all told to do, I think would be heaven.
I love that. I mean, we need our Delulu queen even over there.
Exactly. So do you want to do any more Bravo, or do you want to move on to Survivor Big Brother?
Let's do it.
Okay, we each have our five Bravo. So we're going to move on to the Survivor Big Brother section. Okay. I wrote down a lot of names for myself here. And, you know, since you went first in the last round, I'm going first in this round. I'm going to go with a recent star for Big Brother, and that is Taylor Hale. She won the show. She is incredibly good at the strategy. She's very good at the social game. I think that she could be, I actually think that she could be a pretty good trader, because I think that she's somebody that people really like. Fans would love watching her. She kind of just checks a lot of really great boxes for any show. And my cast would be incomplete without her.
Yes, I love that. I think she's amazing. It's interesting, you know, so the thing I love about traders is it really is like my Roman Empire, because I've been watching Big Brother for 30 seasons. Same. I've been watching The Challenge for 40. Like, these are like, this is like all of my shows coming together. And so, like, this was really fun. And what was really interesting about watching last season and this season is I don't know that Big Brother players are actually built to be good at traders, because if you think about what's required to be successful about Big Brother, it is about really laying low in the beginning and learning a lot, and then coming out later with that information. They're playing for 3 months. Traders is played in like 14 days. And so I think when you saw what happened with Dan and Janelle, they were both victims of playing a Big Brother game. Dan sitting back and not saying anything because he was gathering information. Everyone's like, you're being weird. But in the Big Brother house, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Janelle came out of the house and said, I knew it was Dan and Parvati all along, but I was trying to build alliances with them for later in the game. And it's like, that's not how traders works.
No.
So for me, when I was thinking about Big Brother players, I thought about personalities, people who are going to kill a confessional, who are going to be really, really funny. And that's why my first Big Brother choice is Brittany Haynes.
A classic.
No one is better at confessionals than Brittany. She is genuinely funny. And I don't know if you watched Big Brother Reindeer Games in December.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't miss anything. Oh, Taylor was on, but Brittany was back, and she's a much different version of Brittany now in a great way. She's like the mom of two. But she still kind of loses her mind at the insanity of other players in the game. And I think in a game like Traitors, that would be so fun.
No, so fun. Now she's somebody who I would love to see get a bigger spotlight on her and beyond the Big Brother world. I think that this would be a perfect opportunity for that to happen. All right, my second choice from this category.
Yeah.
This is a really tough to do. Okay, I am going to go with a throwback Survivor villain.
Ooh. Okay.
We're going Jerry Manthe. From early Survivor.
Wow.
She came back, I think, for another season at some point.
I think it was Heroes Villains, right?
Yes, Heroes Villains. Yeah. And she proved to be a little bit less of a villain. But I kind of think that the traitors would give her an opportunity to kind of, like, read the writing on the wall of, like, this is sort of what people want from me. And for her to, like, lean into it again, to kind of, like, remind people, like, why she was so good 22 years ago on Survivor. She's somebody who sort of lives rent free in my head, and I would love to check back in with her, see what she has up her sleeve. Again, she could end up flopping, just kind of being a dud, who knows. But like, I kind of want to take a chance on some people like that, because I think that some people on this season have been kind of surprises in that way.
I love that. That's great. I mean, I feel like the thing I like about traders is it is people who are very current, but also does give you some of those people you can learn to love in a different way. So I think that's an awesome choice.
And I also think that bringing back old people like that, it's sort of like it gives the more current stars of shows or more recent kind of veterans of shows.
Yeah.
A little bit of like a reality check of like, you know, like you can still be taken down a peg or two. Like your shit still stinks. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. I love that. So I'm going to stick with Survivor since you opened the door. And I feel it is only appropriate that Traitors continue what it started and feature one member of the iconic Black Widow Brigade every season. We had Suri in season one. We have Parvati in season two. And it's a toss up for me because I could go with either
who you're going to go with
or Natalie. I want to go with Natalie, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I feel like we've seen Amanda's game. We know how she plays. We know who she is. Natalie feels like such a mystery in a really cool and fun way. Also, to your point, I don't know what she's been doing since, you know, that season. Who is she now? I would like to rediscover that. And if you remember, I mean, she was the one that got the immunity necklace when they sort of talked him out of giving it away. So obviously there's something about her that really endears herself to other people that makes them want to work with her and protect her. So I think she could be a really fun sort of X factor in the scene.
Yeah. You know, I think she did like a photo shoot with Parvati recently or something like that. Like she popped up somewhere and I was like, you know what? Natalie's, you can tell that she still has some of that kind of bad bitch energy. And I think that she she seems like somebody who would lean into that, given another chance to be on TV. So I think that's a great pick. All right. My third pick from this section is going to be Davon Rogers from Big Brother.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for saying it.
So Davon, I think is really interesting because her first season, she didn't last super long, but she was this incredibly funny presence in the house. She was pretty like, she kind of didn't think before she spoke and that was sort of her downfall, but then she came back and she had a much better showing. She held back a little bit more and she made it further. I want to say she made it to the beginning of the jury, and she proved that she could, that she kind of learned from her first round. And you know, in addition to giving great confessional and whatever, she had the strategy in her a little bit more, she had the social game in her a little bit more. Bring her back for a third round and see if she can improve her performance even more and still give us the funny, the memes, the confessional. I mean, she's pretend to be shocked. She is leaving the Big Brother house with the like leg up and like shimmies over to Julie. She is, I think, an underrated kind of contributor to the online like lexicon. And I would love to see her like remind people of that.
I love that. I love Davon. She's fabulous. Love. Great choice. I'm going to make my first choice that is purely for chaos and not based in strategy at all.
Bring it on.
And that is going to be Carolyn from Survivor.
Yes.
Who made Final Three through no one's idea. But here's what I'll say. I mean, Carolyn, all her tattoos, her energy, her crazy faces, like she was kind of a meme for most of the season. And I think what I loved about her and really that season overall was you had all of these people who felt like such simple archetypes really blossom over time. I mean, Jam Jam was somebody I didn't even really care to see on my television in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then cut to me crying as he's winning. And I think what Carolyn's story that she was able to share over the season was really beautiful. And it made her make sense in a different way. That said, I think she obviously does not do well in new situations. You know, those first few days on the island, she was like, I don't know what to do. And I want some of that on Traitors.
No, I think that she would be just like this question mark for people. Like, she's like a puzzle within the game for people to figure out, you know, and that is fun to watch, you know?
Totally.
All right. So this is my fourth from this. And I guess we could go 4 to 5, but I think that my final one, I think, for this is going to be a Survivor winner, but a winner who gets kind of dunked on and underappreciated in the grand scheme of things, and that's Michelle Fitzgerald. Michelle is somebody who I really liked her on her season of Survivor. She ended up winning. Yeah. I think she's a winner that people, again, think didn't really deserve it. Whatever, but she won. And I think when somebody wins Survivor, they win Survivor. That's sort of how I think about that.
I agree with that.
She was on this second season of The Challenge USA. And She proved to be still pretty great TV. She's kind of an emotional person. Like she, there was like a lot of fights that happened in and around her, sort of in the house outside of the challenges and stuff. And, you know, I just think that she's kind of this person that she kind of has something to prove at all times, but she also can't get out of her own way also. And I kind of like that dichotomy, you know, I think that could be, it could either, again, work really well for her or it could end up really bad for her, because it's sort of like the people who don't know Survivor, like the Bravo people, would be like, oh, she won Survivor. And they would be immediately threatened by that. But she's not necessarily a threatening player.
It's true. She's had a really interesting season of The Challenge on this one that's currently airing, Battle for a New Champion.
Okay, I don't watch the regular Challenge. What's that been like?
I don't want to spoil it for any of your listeners, but all I will say is it's been a Michelle I've never seen before, in a cool way, in a very good way. It's interesting.
I like interesting.
Yes. For my last Survivor Big Brother player, I'm going to do the gays proud and nominate the only gay winner of Big Brother ever, Andy Heron, who obviously should not be the only gay winner, because that's a whole other conversation for a whole other podcast.
Yep.
That said, he was great at the game. He is super, super strategic. He's really funny. And the thing I really like about Andy is, from his social media presence since he's won the show, he's a reality television like aficionado.
Totally.
Like, he understands the medium really well. And so I think he would, one, really understand how to play the game, and two, understand what he as a player needed to give to make good television.
Yes. No, I had on my list, I didn't end up saying that person, but Johnny Cochran. Yeah. It's sort of, I think the strategy person who comes off maybe not as an obvious threat because they're not like physically imposing, but I think that's a great, that's a great pick. And he has a great Twitter presence for people listening. He does a lot of good commentary. So let's move on to other reality shows. Again, this is a pretty big catch-all category, but as we've seen on the past two seasons, they'll pull from kind of a variety of places. So I think that this kind of opens it up even more for us. So again, it's your turn to go first. That we're doing three to four from this round.
Okay.
I think I might go four since we've gone lower on the number
two. I got plenty. All right. For my first reality show TBD person, I'm going to choose Selling Sunset alum Christine Quinn.
Ah.
First of all, we need the fashion. We need Alan Cumming might be a little gagged when he sees what Christine brings to Scotland. And also, she's an incredible personality. She's really smart, very cutting, very strategic, and kind of cool as hell.
Yeah.
So I think she would really bring a lot to the show. And I miss seeing her on my television. I don't miss seeing her on Selling Sunset, but I miss seeing her on my television.
Yeah, I think she's an interesting one because towards the end of Selling Sunset, we got sort of like a disengaged, you know, she was outcast from the group and it wasn't the Christine Quinn that we like initially fell in love with. So this would give her the opportunity to kind of reverse that image. Great pick. Okay, my first pick for other reality shows is Carson Kressley, who is Queer Eye, but also Drag Race, but also just kind of a celebrity. But I put him in the reality category because that's sort of where we see him most. He just, to me, is one of the funniest people to ever be on TV. He makes me laugh everything he does. He could kind of be an accidental person who makes it far because I don't think that people would be threatened by him. But he's also a smart guy. He's very witty and, you know, he could be a more outsized Sheree in terms of, and Sheree sort of accidentally making it to the end. I think Carson could accidentally make it far. And I think he's kind of that magnet personality that people would love to just kind of like gossip with. And maybe they tell him too much information.
Yeah, I love that. He's great. Yeah, I had a couple of Drag Race people, but you made me think of someone else. So I think for my next one, because she really is reality television at the end of the day, and there is no medium. There is no genre without this person, and that is Tiffany Pollard, aka New York.
Yeah,
institution. It's crazy she wasn't asked to be on this season. To be honest with you, maybe because she was filming House of Villains already. I'm unclear. All I know is I cannot and I will not go into a third season without her in this world, without her on my television. I mean, she speaks for herself. I don't even need to defend it. I could have just said her name and walked away. And that's
exactly. Listen, she wore sunglasses for 99% of House of Villains. And I would love that same behavior on The Traitors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, she's somebody we checked in with, and she proved to be great TV still. Yeah,
still perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, all right, so my next person from another show, Tiffany was on my list, so she is off. Okay, I'm going to go with Rachel Lindsay, who is a former bachelorette. She is also, I guess, in the kind of the Andy vein from Big Brother. She commentates on reality TV, mostly Bravo stuff, so it's not, she doesn't really know the competition realm as much as far as I'm aware, but she is incredibly smart. She is a former, she's a lawyer. Like, she is, she would study up. I think that she would come from an informed place. I think that she wouldn't know, she's not necessarily somebody who is an obvious, like, outsized personality at first. I think she would hold back a little bit. And I've picked a lot of big personalities on my list, so I need somebody who's a little bit more reserved and knows how to pick a moment. And that is Rachel to me.
I love that. I'm not a big Bachelor person, but I did watch her moderate a bunch of panels at BravoCon. What a star.
She's the best moderator that was at BravoCon, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. Love that. All right. I'm going to dip back into my challenge roots for the next choice.
Okay.
And it was tough because there's, you know, there's not just the challenge. There's also the real world and road rules and all of that. But I think for this show, you can't have somebody who has only done like one or two seasons, right? Because there's so much complexity involved, and you can't just be, you know, a faceless person in a crowd of traders and playing. So I'm going to choose the Wes Bergman for my next choice in this draft. I think what's interesting is Wes brings a lot of the same qualities that Johnny Banana does, right? He's incredible at challenges. He's very braggadocious, and he's also super strategic. The difference is Wes doesn't have the baggage of a Johnny Bananas. He doesn't come in with sort of that persona and that, like, everyone, like, I don't think people know who he is the way they know who Johnny Bananas is.
Sure.
And I think it would help Wes actually last longer, because I don't think people would see him as a target as quickly, because he also knows that you can't come in day one being the guy who, I mean, how many seasons of The Challenge or House of Villains have I watched? We're on day one. Johnny Bananas has a bottle of champagne. He's making everyone do a toast, making himself the center of attention. He did it here too. It's one of his go-to tactics, and that's great, but it doesn't keep you around on a show like this. It puts a target on you way too early. And I think Wes could really make it further and be even more strategic.
Yes. Oh, that's a great pick. That is a really great pick. Okay. My third in this category is going to be someone we've seen on several reality shows over the years, no competition shows, Kristen Cavallari.
Oh, I love that.
I think that she would give great confessional. She would be sort of that bitchy energy that we know and love. She's somebody who never changed in that capacity. Like, back on Laguna Beach, she was like, you know, the bitchy popular girl. She played into that, but she's continued to sort of dip her toe into that on every show we've seen her since. You know, I'll sometimes dip into the Laguna Beach podcast that they do, which she does with Steven. Like, she still has that incredible energy and that incredible personality that I think we all fell in love with 20 years ago. But I also think she's really competitive. She's a really competitive person. She's played the fame game incredibly well. And I just think that she's really savvy. And I think that she doesn't necessarily get credit for that. And I think it'd be really interesting to see her in this new competition-y environment and just kind of see what happens. Will she float or will she sink? And I think that she might float, honestly. She'd be a good trader, actually.
She would be a great trader, yes. And according to Lauren Conrad, she's been one since high school. But I think
no, you didn't.
No, I love that choice. I think Kristen's such an interesting personality in that world.
Yeah.
Okay. For my fourth pick. Okay, so I'm gonna say who I'm gonna say, and it's sort of similar to one that you already had, but it's different, but it's the same, but it's different. And that is Michelle Visage.
Mm.
I know it'd be weird to have two Drag Race panelists on the season. But I think Michelle's almost like so much more than that in a totally different way from Carson. The thing that I love about Carson that I think you're talking about is sort of that likability, that everymanness, that real kind, you know, just genteel energy. The thing that I like about Michelle is what she's amazing at on the show. She will be like, your face is fucked and here's why and here's how to fix it. Right. So I
Hard
love
truth.
That she... Yeah, exactly. And I think you need someone like that on the season. I think you need someone to, in those roundtables, to be like a similar kind of to Kate, like that kind of energy. Like, you know, when Dan was playing the whole, you know, you didn't like you didn't like my Burgalicious. Like, that would be Michelle. She's like, this is the argument you're bringing to the table to explain why I'm a traitor. Like, it would just, the argument would be really fiery. And I think she would be really, really dangerous in this game.
That's a really good one, because people would trust Michelle. People would trust her.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think absolutely. So. Yeah. I think they would. All right. My final one from this category. Okay, this is kind of a random pick.
Love it. Good.
But she's proven to me to make really great TV on the most recent seasons of Selling Sunset. And that is Amanza.
Okay.
Okay, so let me just explain. So Amanza, to me, was never really... She's never really been my favorite person on that show. She's never been the most obvious star on that show. But she's had some staying power. And she has actually, to me, risen in the ranks in terms of... you know, her impact on that show and sort of how she moves things around. And to me, that speaks to her willingness and her ability to be produced. And I think that she is willing to come into a scenario. And, you know, the producer was just in her ear being like, we got to bring this up. And she's like, you know what? I'm fucking game. You know, this past season of Selling Sunset, she brought up a million things at those dinner tables. And you know what? Maybe we need somebody to walk into that room. And when Peter asks them to leave, she says, fuck no, I'm not going to leave because I want to bring this up. I have other big personalities on there, but they're more kind of strong-willed and they're going to do what they want. Amanza will do whatever the producers tell her to do, and that's how I think about her. And that's who my pick is.
I mean, that's interesting. Listen, I'm not going to be mad at it. I feel like, and listen, the looks would be good. I mean, her fashion this season was insane.
Beyond. Our final group is the biggest potential group. Random celebrities or public figures.
Yes.
You know, since I'm going first, I'll just kind of explain. I kind of went with people that were actually gettable. You know, I'm not going to say like a pop star.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I saw a lot of people saying some really ungettable names on Twitter last week when Traitors was renewed. So I tried to go with people that would actually, you could actually see on the show.
Okay.
Okay. So my first pick
is
going to be, and I'm going to go with three from this category, I believe. Okay. I'm going to go with Cody Rigsby, who is the Peloton instructor. He is kind of a rising star just in general. He's a personality. He has like kind of like a feistiness to him. And I don't think we've ever really seen him in this environment before. And it would be, I think that he would be one, well-liked and popular within the faithfuls, or make a good traitor. Really good at the challenges, obviously. I don't know. I just think he would.
Yeah. I like that.
He's pretty good at this.
Yeah, no, that's good. I know him from Dance, right? Dancing with the Stars.
He was on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. I love that choice. Okay. So my first choice has been on reality television, but is not a reality television person. She is an actress. She is a comedian. She is a podcaster. She is brilliant. And that is Nicole Byer.
Ah, great one.
Now, I just think that energy in that space would be infectious. It would be so wonderful. She's so smart and charismatic. And I think also, a fan of the genre. So she would be good at a lot of the strategy and understanding people's like motivations. And frankly, I just want to see Nicole in more things and have her to have more of like a higher profile. I think this would be a great space to move her to the next level.
Totally. That's a really great pick. All right. My second in this category. Oof. Okay. This is another curveball. I think a lot of these will probably be curveballs for both of us. Okay. I'm going to go with Andy Roddick, who is a former tennis player.
Yeah.
He's very Twitter active. He kind of says shit that people are thinking about politics, about tennis. He cuts through the bullshit. My cast doesn't have enough straight male energy. And I think that I'm kind of, you know, I have a lot of the girls and I have some gays, but I have Craig. So I think I need somebody else that is in that realm, who's going to be hyper competitive, kind of bring that. I do think that there's that something that you see a lot at like the round tables is this sort of like macho-ness that comes out of some of these men. And I think that I don't love that energy, but I also think it like creates a nice like counterbalance to some of like the campiness, some of the housewives and stuff like that bring. So I think he'd be a nice balance for my cast, and he'd probably be pretty good. So that's my pick.
I like that. That's good. I don't know a lot about him, but I think That would be really fun. I like that. Okay. My next pick is, again, I swear I'm not just picking people who were on reality television but are not reality television stars.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But
sure.
I mean, this is a businesswoman. This is a mogul. This is an icon. And it is Kelly Catrone, the head of publicity for People's Revolution.
An icon.
An icon. You know her from The Hills. You know her from America's Next Top Model. You know her from Hell on Earth. But in reality, like, this is somebody who did all of those things to support her fundamental goal, which is being an amazing business person. I mean, you think Kate Chastain has zero fucks to give. Like, meet Kelly Catrone. I can't imagine her doing a single challenge and being happy about it. But I think watching her strategize in this way would be hypnotic.
Hypnotic is correct. And it just watching her pushing a boulder up a hill or something would be...
Without, you know what I mean? Like, without, like, all the assistance to do it instead.
She'd be on the walkie-talkie telling people what to do. I love that. Okay. All right. So I think this is my last pick. This is my third in this category.
Okay.
I'm going to go with somebody that one of your picks made me think of.
Okay.
He is scratching the British box itch that I think John has scratched this season.
Okay.
And that is Gemma Collins.
Yeah.
Who is the infamous kind of, you know, enemy of New York Tiffany Pollard.
Yes.
And you know, somebody lied to her several times, but I still think that she is one of those personalities that she's kind of like the British, like Trisha Paytas in a way. She's kind of like, is always around, like she's always like saying something, doing something in the Daily Mail for some sort of reason, and she's funny as hell. Yeah. And you know, I just think that, why not throw her in there? It should be a total enigma. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Trisha was also someone else. Like, do I? Don't I?
I know. She's a little too chaotic, I think, to me.
I agree. I think Gemma's the better way to get at the same essence of chaos.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oof. All right. God, I have like five. Okay. For my final pick, I'm going to tap into just something that was deeply important to me in my childhood. A person who was extremely influential, but who also still has like gorgeous relevance today. And my final pick is going to be Paula Abdul.
Oh, I
think just the little hint of Paula that I got when Ari released her music video, right? Which obviously references Cold Hearted Snake, which obviously references, you know, other things. It was nice. It felt nice to like have her in my periphery again. And I kind of want a little more. Obviously, you know, she would probably be a little mystified, I think, by everything going on. But I think the thing is, she'd be game for all of it. I think you would find her like giving her all in challenges and being so earnest about what was actually happening that I think her sort of pure-hearted energy would be kind of lovely.
She would have a heartbreaking moment. She would be crossed by somebody on your cast. She would be, you know, stepping out from that round table, giving a little speech, and then be like, I'm a faithful. Yep.
Paula would be, it's true.
She'd be like the emotional core of your season, which I think would be really, every season has to have that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So these are great. I'm excited.
These are fun. These are so fun. Is there anybody from your list that you kind of, that stands out to you as like, okay, they should be some of my traitors?
For sure. I mean, I definitely feel like I would love for Stassi to be a traitor. I think she would be really strong traitor. Weirdly, I think Nicole Byer would be an interesting traitor, kind of unexpected. And I think she would be able to continue to win people over with her personality and they would never think it was her. Part of me wants to say Carolyn because that's just crazy. But no, I think I think my third traitor would be... You know what? I think my third traitor would be Brittany Haynes, and I'll tell you why. I think she would give very poverty energy in terms of like, gotta kill you. It's what it is. Like, I think she'd be very matter of fact about the business at hand, and she would have no emotions at play in what she had to do, which I think would make her very under the radar, because I think the people who are kind of too obvious are the ones who have those big energy shifts, and I don't think she would have that.
Yeah. Okay. Those are good traders. So it,
thank you.
Okay. Stassi, Brittany, and Nicole.
Yes.
That's great. That's a great trio. I think my traders would be, Okay, I think I would want somebody who was really likable and might be an unexpected. So I think I would want Carson as one of my traders. Carson Kressley.
That would be fun. That would be so
because I think that people would just trust him and not think that he has it in him. Right. I think I would like Kristen Cavallari to be one of my traders. I think that also again, she was. It's kind of obvious, but like also not. She's not a competition person. And then for my third. To really give her the chance to prove herself again in this third go around, it'd be Davon. I want to see her in that turret. You know, I want to see her. I want her and Kristen to have some moments like kind of my Phaedra and Parvati. And so they are.
I love it. I think I'm excited. I mean,
me too. No, this is so fun. It's just fun to, again, get the wheels turning. We're putting those ideas out there.
Yes.
If any of these people end up on season three of The Traders, you have us to thank. So this is really fun. Thanks for doing this.
Are you kidding me? This was so exciting. Thank you so much for asking me.
Yeah, anytime. Of course. Of course. And do you have anything you want to plug before we sign off?
I mean, watch Traders? No.
Follow Jared on social media, truly. Like, he has some great commentary. He's always kind of the first on the beat. And a really great follow.
Terminally online is the expression I think they use. But yes, you can follow me at Jarrett Says.
Awesome. Well, Jarrett, we'll talk again soon and see you for season three.
See you for season three.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.